The IMF warned that the United States is most at risk. Europe, it says, is less exposed. Big borrowers could lose big time in the current financial crisis. But what about some of the smallest borrowers in the world? They're the ones who receive what's called microcredit. A microcredit loan might be less than $100, just enough for somebody in the developing world to buy a sewing machine or maybe a flock of chickens or a cell phone. In recent decades, those microloans have allowed millions of the world's poorest people to become entrepreneurs. Alex Counts heads the Grameen Foundation in Washington, D.C. He trained under Professor Mohammed Yunus, who's the founder of the Grameen Bank. Counts says that so far, microcredit has been largely shielded from the crisis.
There are certain aspects of microfinance that I think insulated from this crisis. The poor, for example, their businesses never got as overextended as businesses of the middle class and the true large-scale entrepreneurs in the country. Just let me give you a specific example. In Indonesia, where the financial crisis hit in 97, 98, many of the banks went under, but the banks that specialized in microfinance did fine. In fact, emerged from that crisis in good shape. So the poor, and women in particular, who are the key microfinance borrowers, they tend to be actually somewhat cautious with their money and do not get overextended, and that helps the lenders to them not go overextended and be less vulnerable to this kind of a crisis.
Okay, so they may not be overextended, but how about the people who loan to them? I mean, this is not only in terms of how much they can pay back, but also what's given to them in the first place. Aren't those who are loaning the money overextended or at least unable to get loans now?
That is a risk in some markets. If you look in India in particular, where 10 years ago, the main source of capital for the microlenders was philanthropic donations. Now they're largely borrowing from commercial banks that are likely to be affected by this crisis. And if those commercial banks pull back from microfinance, that could trickle down and create a liquidity crisis within the microlending community.
I know you've spent an awful lot of time in Bangladesh itself, which is the focus of Mohammed Yunus's Grameen Bank. Are there people there who right now are paying attention to what's happening on Wall Street and in Washington?
I'm sure this is on people's minds in the villages that I lived in Bangladesh. I can think of many people who have improved their situation through buying cows, selling the milk, having a general store. These are the kinds of businesses people have. However, I think they're watching it more with a feeling of being relieved, because Grameen Bank in the last 10 years has become a bank that has financed its loans almost entirely through the deposits of the people who borrow from it. And that gives them insulation from this crisis, and why Bangladeshis actually have very little reason to fear that this will spread to Grameen Bank and the villages of Bangladesh. And this is where Grameen Bank is serving, I think, as a model for the rest of the microfinance community, for them to try to have the very people that borrow from them be there also their depositors. And in that way, they'd be largely insulated from this and future crises.
All right. Alex Counts heads the Grameen Foundation in Washington, D.C. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you.